1. 12 years ago, while I was studying to be a technical student, I worked at the fair. I knew about mechanics. In fact, that was the specialty I was studying. That was one of those fairs that are held once a year. It wasn't as big as the Lyon Fair, but you get the idea. Here in the north, we like big events. There was everything, 3 or 4 stages, mechanical rides, some very extreme and modern, food stands, skill games, haunted houses. They hired me to help set up certain rides at the beginning when everything was being set up. Once the fair was open, I was in charge of verifying that everything was working properly on the rides that I helped install. Sometimes they also asked me to operate them. The fair would only last 3 weeks. On one of those 3 weekends, the one closest to October 31st, the fair would stay open until 3 in the morning. For the Halloween event, actors were hired to dress up and scare visitors. The haunted houses got the most attention. They were the centerpieces of the fair. That Friday and Saturday, the atmosphere was perfect for those who like scares. Monsters, clowns, and butchers were everywhere. You can imagine. There were 3 haunted houses, one for children, one for adults, and an extreme one that was set up in the parking lot. Exclusive for those 2 days. What I'm going to tell you happened in the children's house. That one was a roller coaster attraction. There were no actors there, only animatronics, which are mechanical props for engines or hydraulic systems. Around 1 in the morning, there were still a lot of people, but at the fair in general, in the haunted house that I was operating, not so many. Most were adults who came in excited and left disappointed. In the haunted castle, the biggest scares were a chandelier that seemed to come loose from the ceiling and a bookcase that seemed to fall on you. I estimate that around that time, 1 a.m., when the castle exit doors opened and one of the carts appeared, those on board ran off, tripped, and even fell face down on the metal steps of the ride. I couldn't get up from my seat. I wanted to go help them, but all I could do was call on the radio so someone would come and check on them. It wasn't just because of the crash that they got out of the cart as if they were in an emergency. The truth is, it never occurred to me that something inside could have scared them that much. Given how simple the haunted castle was, it was impossible. The next cart came out the same way. The girl was standing with a look of horror on her face that I've never seen even on extreme rides that could give you such a big scare. On a bench near the ride, there was a boy sitting with his mother. The boy saw them, laughed out loud, and told them that the castle wasn't scary at all. She couldn't even talk about the shock, so she didn't say anything. The haunted castle was a ride that didn't stop. People must have gotten on and off while the cart was in motion. The next cart was empty. The 4th one was a boy and a child. The boy was red, not breathing, in shock. The boy was okay. That was definitely the time to start worrying. My stomach hurt at the first thought that crossed my mind. An accident. Then I looked at the wheels and the track. At that moment, the radio beeped. It was a message that all the staff heard, but it was addressed to me. Castle of Terror. I replied, "Castle of Terror, we need you to take the ride out of service. We have a report of AZ-3F. They used code, but what they meant was wreckage. The second couple probably went to report it to security. Absolute discretion is required. Don't pull people out of line, just tell them there's a minor technical issue. Then, they radioed me to go and check. It wasn't even necessary to tell the visitors. I put up the gate and turned off the tow chain motor. The noise from the entire fairground helped make it seem like nothing was happening. However, I was about to see the thing that had put everyone in a deep state of terror. I couldn't see them either, but I knew that all my companions were looking in my direction, waiting for me to come out, to say what was inside the Castle of Terror. The doors closed behind me with a terrifying creak. The carts were still, lined up in a row, waiting for the signal to start. Suddenly I was afraid that the attraction was going to start, but I remembered that without the key that I carry in my pants pocket, it's impossible. Even so, the idea of advancing on foot through the route made me nervous. I felt that at any moment a surprise was going to jump out at me. The remains, the macabre fright. I passed by an old mirror splattered with stains, real blood stains. I stopped to see if that thing was nearby. I kept feeling that some machine was going to turn on by mistake. Further on, I came across a figure hanging from the ceiling with eyes painted an unsettling red. I gave it a push almost accidentally and its head turned as if it were following me with its gaze. Those terrifying figures that should jump out at you, scream or move to scare visitors, at that moment looked inert and somehow pathetic in the darkness. The cracked makeup and visible seams completely shattered the illusion, as did the broken spotlights and exposed cables. Without the lighting and sound effects, the atmosphere was filled with an uncomfortable silence that exposed every little flaw in the set design. However, with each step I took, I felt a little more short of breath. I was about to encounter something that I didn't know what it was, but the mere thought of it was really scaring me. Castle of Terror, any news? I replied that nothing yet, but when I turned the third curve I saw it. At first I thought it was one of the animatronics, but it wasn't. From a distance I could tell what was wrong. It had no head. The strange thing was that it was in a very difficult position for someone who doesn't have a head. Its back was to me and it was crouching, motionless at first. Suddenly, I think it sensed my presence and stood up. I thought I was going to faint from the shock. Those who were talking to me on the radio, what did they expect me to do with that? I ran back, because that thing ran after me. Doing my best not to turn around, I went straight to one of the emergency exits. I couldn't believe it. The door was padlocked. It took me a little longer, but I finally came out through the castle doors panting, out of breath, pale, terrified. The people still in line, waiting for the ride to be put back into service, stared at me in confusion and immediately began asking questions. I didn't know what to say or how to explain to them that I had left that place horrified. Suddenly, the castle's metal doors opened. That thing came out. I could finally get a good look at it. It was a body that, as I've already told you, had no head. But that wasn't even the scariest thing. It wasn't a human body, it was like a doll, something strange. It moved in a very peculiar way, it walked stiffly, strangely. The horrible, macabre thing was that in its hands it had a head that clearly didn't belong to it, it was real. It was dead. Its eyes were closed and its mouth was slightly open. This thing was holding it with both hands above its neck, as if it wanted to pretend. The truth is that this was the most horrible image I've ever seen in my life. The people who saw it were also scared. I saw them start running away screaming. I grabbed the radio and called the police. It wasn't until that moment that I remembered to report what I saw. That thing disappeared among the crowd, it disappeared from my sight. Just as it was closing, one of the supervisors, on the radio, told us that we had to stay for a quick meeting. When everyone had left, we gathered in the food court. They asked me to tell everyone what I saw. Some saw it, others didn't. We couldn't find an explanation. No one saw where it went or where it came from. What really stuck in my mind was that the people who reported it said that inside the attraction they had seen a man without a head. At first they thought it was a very good costume or makeup, but this guy approached them and put something in their hands that looked like a real head. In 1990, I was 10 years old. That's when we moved to Santa Rosa, New Mexico. I lived there for about 20 years. Right now, I'm back in Guadalajara, and what I want to tell you, I would like to be heard in the Halloween compilation. Sending greetings to Esther and Brenda Dominguez. Back then, I was new to the neighborhood and they barely let me go out. I don't know if you remember or if your parents can tell you if you're younger, but back then there were all kinds of rumors about Halloween and trick or treating. That people would give out candy laced with illicit substances like candy apples with hidden razor blades, and that it was the day the serial killers would go out in costumes. My sister and I would knock on everyone's doors, filling our bags with candy. Everyone had their parents with them, except us. They were both working that day and at that time. They wouldn't let us go out. In fact, the neighbor across the street would tell my mom everything we did. The good thing was that we had the costumes we wore to school, so no one would see or recognize us outside. If they asked us about our parents, we would point to the corner and say that mom had stayed behind to chat with a friend. Since we didn't know anyone, we didn't know which houses gave the best candy, which doors we shouldn't knock on, which neighbors were nice and which ones were grumpy. We arrived at a house, knocked on the door, waited and waited until a light came on. I noticed that neither the house nor the yard were decorated, but I didn't know or imagine that this was the signal to tell which houses were okay to trick or treat and which weren't. The door opened slowly, making a harsh creak. The light inside flickered as if the bulb were about to burn out. The man who appeared was thin, with a face marked by deep wrinkles and eyes that seemed empty as if they were staring without seeing. His skin was pale, almost translucent in the yellowish light, and his hands were shaking slightly. He wasn't wearing a costume or suit, just an old, faded shirt. And for some reason, that lack of attire made me feel uncomfortable, like we were breaking an invisible rule by being there. "Could you help me change a light bulb?" he asked in a gruff voice as if he hadn't used it in a long time. My sister and I looked at each other, and although something about her made me freeze, I didn't want to seem rude. My sister, on the other hand, took a step back, tugging on my sleeve with a worried expression. "We better go," she hissed, squeezing my hand. Before I could decide what to do, we heard a scream from the street. "We shouldn't beg in that house," someone shouted. When we turned around, we saw an elderly woman trembling and pointing in our direction. My sister looked at me with very worried eyes. She was about to tell me to run when the man at the door let out a hoarse, mirthless laugh. "Nobody lives here, they say, right? But who answers the door then? Who am I? Who turns on the lights?" Quote. We were silent until it occurred to me to ask, "Do you live here, sir?" The man looked at me, cocking his head to one side as if considering the question. Then he nodded slowly. "Alive or something," quote. At that moment, the lights in the house flickered again. The woman from the street was still yelling for us to get away, but the man extended a hand inside, motioning for us to come in. "Come on, the spotlight's in the living room," he said, looking at us with an insistence that was starting to feel like a threat. "I'll just be a second." "They say someone died in this house years ago, that someone was electrocuted here." I swallowed hard at what the old man said. Without further ado, the guy turned and began walking inside. His steps were slow and dragging. I feel like my sister and I stayed on the porch of the house for much longer than we should have. Suddenly, in the dim light of the living room, we saw something that took my breath away. A loose wire hung from the ceiling, and at our feet was a huge dark stain. It looked sticky and dried. It looked like blood or something worse. The woman who was yelling at us had to go get us to prevent us from entering. I don't know what stopped us from running away from the first bad feeling. It was the truth. The lady confirmed it to us. We shouldn't have been trick-or-treating in that house. Well, someone died there from electrocution changing a light bulb. We'll hear from you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll receive our first dead. Until next time. Someone is watching you in the dark.